People are doing maths and further maths, A-level even, really ought to like it by this stage. Okay, so I thought we'd have a little test, see who's awake. Can I borrow your microphone? I've got some tricky sums for us this morning. Anybody think they can do my first sum for me? Anyone? Well, Alan, anybody besides Alan? John, good. Can you tell me the answer to my first sum?
2.
Everyone agree? We all good on 2? Yeah, excellent. Okay. Tricky stuff. Okay, let's have the next one, please. Okay, we're getting bigger. Anyway, John, do you think you can do this one as well? Go on then.
4.
Awesome. Fantastic. Don't say we don't teach you things here. Right, now, let's have the next one. What about this one? Anyone think they can do this one? Oh, it's gone. John, you think you can do this one as well, do you? Okay.
3.
Ah, that might be the case normally. But this morning, we're doing Bible maths. And in Bible maths, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Ha ha! Sorry, John. You were doing so well, I ruined it. You see, at school the answer might be 3, but in church, when we're talking about Bible maths, it's 1. So let's just see how we can get around that slightly confusing thing we're saying. See, the Bible tells us something that might be a bit confusing. The Bible says that we've just got one God. God is one. And yet, even though we hear that in the Bible many times, the Bible says, the Lord your God is one, there is just one God. I, the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says in the Old Testament, one God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. One God led them through the Red Sea. The Lord God, it says, is one. And there's no other. But when we talk about God, I might need my beautiful assistant to come and help me now. We talk about God the Father, that's one. So God the Father, that's one. And then we talk about Jesus, God the Son, that's one. And then we talk about God the Holy Spirit. It does work, I did try it earlier. But you have to slightly tilt it. There you go. And that's one. You see, 1 + 1 + 1 = oh, it's the wrong way around. Whoops. That's ruined it. It's painted on the wrong side. One plus plus is one, and it's backwards. So cool. Never mind. James and I are left-right dyslexic, so neither of us noticed until now. Excellent. Thank you, beautiful assistant. Deary me. What a puzzle. Yes. Okay, so God maths, Bible maths, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Let's listen to what Jesus told his disciples to pass on when they were, just as he was leaving earth for the last time, before he went back to be with his Father. This is what he told his disciples, and listen to how he describes God. Karen, can I hand over to you to come and do our little reading? Thank you.
So the reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 followers went to Galilee. They went to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. On the mountain, they saw Jesus and worshipped him. But some of them did not believe that it was really Jesus. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world."
Thank you, Karen. So did you hear what Carol read? That Jesus told his followers, his disciples, to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God is three and one, all at the same time. And we call it the Trinity. It's not a word you'll actually find in the Bible itself, but it describes the threeness and oneness of God, how he can be three and one at the same time. You see, we see God at work in three different ways. God is three and one. But how does that actually work? How can something or somebody be three and one all at the same time? Well, we first of all have to remember, don't we, that we're not talking about a human being like you or I. We're talking about God who made the universe. He created the entire thing. Now, I think that if you made the universe, you're that kind of God, somebody who just speaks the universe into being, then I can't do that. But if you can do that, maybe you might not be quite the same as an ordinary human being. You see, God can do that. He's an altogetherly different kind of being, much more awesome, much more powerful than any of you or I could be. So to be honest, it's not really that surprising, is it, that we can't completely understand what God is like. We'd expect, wouldn't we, that if somebody could make a universe by just speaking it into being, they'd probably be a little bit more complicated than we could understand. In fact, there was a famous Christian called Augustine who lived way back in the 4th century, and he said this. He said, if you can understand it, it's not God. He said that God wasn't going to be somebody who we could easily understand. Actually, God's much bigger than we can possibly imagine. It would be a bit like a woodlouse or an ant trying to understand a human being. I think they'd find that a bit tricky, wouldn't they? But just because God is complicated to understand, it doesn't mean he isn't true and we can't know him. Just like in our sketch, Ruff couldn't understand how electricity worked. It didn't make any sense to him. He got all a bit muddled up with trains and dried fruit and so on. But just because he didn't understand it, it didn't mean to say he couldn't use his CD player. He could still plug in his CD player and listen to some music, even though he didn't really understand how it was working. And the same is true for us. Even if we can't fully understand the Trinity in every way, we just have to trust him and get to know him anyway. See, God's not like a transformer who can change into different shapes depending on what he's needed. He's not like Spider-Man, click it again, who's actually somebody dressed up as somebody else. No, our God is all at the same time, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And even though it can be a bit of a puzzle, we can still get to know him. So it's God maths. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. He is a great big God, and we'll explore it a little bit more after we've sung our next songs. So here, can I hand back to the band? And we're going to sing together, Our God is a Great Big God. It's got some actions, this song. If you'd like to join in with them, please feel free. If you'd rather just sing, that's great too. But shall we stand?
Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand.
Do sit down, sorry. Let's try take two. Ooh, might you turn down a little bit, Alan. Is that okay? Yeah? Brilliant. Thank you. So we've been doing some maths practice. I know Dan and Charlotte are both, as I said, doing maths and further maths, so it's good to get them up to speed for their exams. And I know they've been very grateful for the little tips this morning. So we've been thinking about how God is three and one all at the same time, about how God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one. A little bit complicated, but that doesn't mean to say it's not true.
No.
Ah, Ralph. Yes. Good to see you. How's the CD going?
Very musical.
Lovely. Excellent. Good.
I don't want to be rude.
No, of course you wouldn't want to be rude.
I'm never rude.
No, never rude.
But I've been listening to this three-in-one God stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting.
Oh, I'm glad you think that. Excellent, Ralph.
But.
Good. Oh, yes?
But.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
Does it matter?
So,
if God is three in one, is it really important? Does it make any difference at all?
Thanks, Ralph. Good to have you. Actually, you know what? Ralph. It does make a difference. It does matter. It makes quite a big difference, actually. So I'll tell you what, why don't you take a nice comfy seat and I'll explain it all to you.
Okay.
Go on. Get your roughingness off. Good. Yes, thanks. Lovely. Okay. Let's think about why it matters. The kind of so what. Because it's one thing to know it, isn't it? And another thing to know, well, why does it matter? What difference does it make? You see, if God was just one, just some mega big brain up in the sky, there you go, there's my brain, then it would mean that being like him would be all about getting as clever as you possibly could. Life would be really about learning as much information as you could and being as brainy as you possibly can. You could forget everybody else. It would be all about you being trying to be clever. But while learning is great, and I'm all for education and all that stuff, the truth is, actually, that's not what life is all about. Sorry, parents. You see, being a mega brain doesn't make you a nice person, does it? It's not really what makes life good. It's very useful and all that, and it can open lots of doors, but it's not the most important thing in life. No one lies on their deathbed going, if only I'd learned some more facts. People just don't say that. But if God is a three-in-one kind of God, then it makes sense that God is actually about love. Now, I'm not talking sort of pink, fluffy, soppy, romantic, Valentine's Day kind of lug. I'm talking about strong and powerful, caring, that kind of love. The Father loves the Son. The Son and the Father love the Spirit. There's love between each one. Strong, active, powerful love. You see, the essence of who God is love. Love's not like an extra bit tacked on the edge. Actually, God is love. He is in himself a family, a community. He's in relationship, a loving friendship, all on his own. Now, if God is like that, there's actually loving relationship within who he is. It means that being like him is going to be all about having loving friendships and relationships with other people. So that the most important thing in our world is not information, but people and the way we relate to other people. School is important. Work's important. Football might be important. Music might be important. But the most important thing by far is people. And how we relate to them, relationships, how we treat each other. That is more important than anything else. Now, I very kindly volunteered the youth guys to come and help me, so let's have Emily and Bethany and Grace and Fred and Victor's hiding, so he doesn't have to come up, he does anyway. And Dan, and is Todd here?
Yeah.
Todd. Oh, he's out the front seat. Okay, he's lurked. Okay, Josh, you're up then. If you seven guys could come up. Up you come. Okay. Bethany, let's have you first. Doesn't matter. Some number. Brilliant. Some group. Okay, so Bethany, we'll have you over here. You can be God. Do you want to stand on the chair? Take your shoes off. Yeah, take your shoes off. Okay. So, over here is God. We often think of the world like this. God is kind of over there. Right, let's shovel you all over there. Together. That's great. So over here is God. Here is me in the middle. And then over there, that's the church, the other people. And then the rest of the world is out here. And it can feel a bit like in life that we're pulled between the different places. So I'm like pulled trying to do stuff for God, and then like pulled over towards the church, and then pulled over towards to do things for the world. And we just kind of feel a bit kind of pulled in all these different places. I kind of want to spend some time with God. I want to be committed to the church. Do I? Yeah, I do. I want to reach out to the world. We want to do and get involved in all these different things, but it's a bit of a struggle and we just can't do it. But if we're supposed to be people who are all about living together in community, beautiful assistant, would you just come and help me lift this out of the way a bit so my church doesn't hurt themselves? Well, I'll... Okay.
Move it over there?
Yeah, ideally.
Because it won't stand up.
Yeah, ideally over here. Ready? Perfect. Lovely. Thank you. Okay. But if we're supposed to be people who live in community and relationships, then we're supposed to not be doing things on our own. We're supposed to be together. I'm not supposed to be somebody who struggles on doing things without anybody's help. I'm supposed to be somebody who's part of a group. So it should look a bit like this. Right, Bethany, let's put you in the middle. It should have God in the middle, and then church. Can you come and gather around her in a circle? All the way around. I don't knock her off. Let's be a circle. Right, somebody needs to come in front, like we're kind of, as if you could hold hands, kind of circle. Okay. So it should be like this, with God in the middle, and then the church, we'll call them God's friends, we're all together, round, we're in this circle around God. So rather than it just being about me and God, now it's about us together and God. Now, I should have thought about this more. Teenagers, can we hold hands for a second? Is that possible? Sorry. Sorry, Victor. I promise I won't. Sorry about that. No, not with God. Yes. Okay, so I tell you what, you just hold hands with grace. There you go. Is that better? No, that's worse. Okay. Worse. Okay. Deary me. I should have picked my volunteers more carefully, shouldn't I? Oh, deary me. So we have to look after each other and care for each other. Sorry, guys. Look how together we are. Yeah. And then it's about how we reach out to the world. Now, you can't reach out to the world if you're all looking inwards, can you? So actually, let's all turn the circle outwards. Uh-huh. And then you can, if you're close enough, Emily, do it. You can hold Grace's hand. She's not that smelly.
It was Dan.
Oh, it's Dan, is it? Oh, dear, can't hold hands. Oh, dear. It's relationship training for later, okay, everybody? You'll thank me, parents. Okay, so we have to be close enough together so that we can reach out. If you're close enough together, you can actually face outwards and reach your arms out. If you're, like, really separate, you can't reach out. But if you're close enough together, you can face outwards and reach out together to reach the world. Okay, thanks, kids. I think you've probably done enough pain. How to embarrass your teenagers in one easy step. Excellent. So apologies to all of those parents who are trying to get their kids to do their homework when they want to play with their friends. But the truth is, we do live in an era that sometimes has got things a bit topsy-turvy. Actually, we have a three-in-one God. And relationships are actually the most important thing. If we want to reflect God and actually be like him, then we need to be people that invest in others, in people and relationships. We need to be people who spend time with others, and we mustn't just get Surrey-focused and kind of be driven. Let me just read a tiny bit of what Jesus said in his famous prayer the night before he died. So he says this, "I pray also for those who believe in me, through the apostles' message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus wants us to be one. As he and the Father and the Spirit are one, we're supposed to be as close as this three-in-one God is. That really is being together, isn't it? Sorry, teenagers, that's quite close. That really is togetherness. So when we look at what we have, we go home and we look at what we have, let's not think, oh, I haven't got this or I haven't got that. Instead, let's think, look what I have got that I can share with those around me. When we make our decisions, let's not just think, how does this affect me? Let's think, how does this affect us? The three-in-one God tells us that life is about togetherness, community. And if we want to reflect his nature and his character, then we need to think about those words, togetherness, community. And if we do that, maybe the world around us will notice that something is different and start to want to know more about this three-in-one kind of God. We're going to sing a song.